Welcome to the fourth and final Unfound Team episode. Today you get to hear from Cherie, probably the most high profile of my assistants, given her job as the moderator of the live show. We talk about her background, how she first started taking an interest in crime, how she became acquainted with Unfound, and why she calls me her true crime buddy. And we cover a bunch of other stuff. Before the interesting talk with Cherie starts, I'm sending out a request to all of you. I would love to add you to the team I already have if you have a strong background in any of one of the following areas: marketing, online retail, or website building. If so, email me at unfoundpodcast@gmail.com, in which you tell me a little bit about yourself while also giving me a quick rundown of your experience. This would be a volunteer position, but as any of the current assistants will tell you, all I ask of any of them is to devote a couple hours a week to whatever their expertise is. That's it. Okay, then. The interview.
I'm so happy to have, I'm going to do this interview with Assistant Cherie, who has been part of Unfound since, the way I remember it, like the summer of 2018. Am I right on that, Cherie, or how do you remember when you and I first became acquainted?
I think that's right. I thought 2017, but it may be 2018. You'll probably know better as we go through the interview, be able to place the time more accurately.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right. It's coming up on 6 years. It's hard to believe.
Yes.
So if it is 2018, we're coming up on 6 years. It's gone fast.
Yes.
All right, Cherie, just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. You know, as little or as much as you want to say about you and your kids. I know your daughter got married here recently, and you know, whatever you want to say about what do people need to know about Cherie.
All right. Well, I'm the oldest of three children. I have a younger brother who's 6 years younger than me, and then I have a sister who is 24 years younger than me.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't think I knew that, Cherie.
I think we talked about, because like you, she also is adopted, my youngest sister.
Oh, but okay.
Yeah. So there's three of us. My youngest sister, my only sister, really, she lives in Corpus. So that's not too far from here, like an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. So I get to see her frequently. But my brother lives overseas, and so I only see him a couple of times a year.
Right. Okay.
I have three children myself. I have two daughters and a son. My son's right in the middle. And my oldest daughter lives in Colorado. The youngest one is now in Lithuania. She just got married in December. And her husband are over there for about seven more months. And then my son lives here with me. And he's going to school, kind of hating it, thinking about going back to work and not finishing school at all. So.
Oh, and we should note that your son is a military veteran, right?
That's right. Yes.
All right. And what branch of the service was he in?
Air Force.
All right. How many years?
4 years.
4 years. Good for him. All right.
Deployments and spent the rest of his time in South Carolina.
Okay. And how are you and your son living together? How's that going?
It's good. You know, it's not perfect, but it's good.
Okay.
You know, I don't can see myself living with anybody else, like on a roommate basis or anything like that. Uh-huh. So it's nice. Like, he helps me when I need help, and you know, but sometimes I have to remember that he is an adult, and that's hard when you're a mom, because you want to tell him to do stuff, and you know, it doesn't always work that way. But like going to school, I want him to stay in school, but
you're right.
Life. Sure. He's 24 years old. He's going to do what he wants to do.
Right. And Lithuania, what is your daughter and her husband doing in Lithuania?
So her husband got the Fulbright endowment to go over there and study Baltic cultures, because he wants to go into peace talks or peace political work with the
Okay.
government. And so they're doing like a little 8 month endowment over there,
Wow.
basically. And so my daughter is, because she can't work, obviously, she doesn't have a visa or anything. So she's volunteering at the university there, helping one of the English teachers like do grading papers and then working in the library and stuff like that. And they've had a really good time so far. They've met a lot of different people from different countries. The other night they were at a little get together and there was like people from 10 different countries there. So there's a lot of people, I guess, that have gone there with this endowment and they're having a good time. So but they're not
Right.
enjoying the weather because it was like 20 degrees and there's no sun and it's completely different for
Yeah.
some in South Texas.
That's right. And now, being we have to talk about then your other daughter. She lives in Colorado. What's she doing?
She is working at a restaurant there and she's also hating life right now because of the snow. She was sending me a picture of them today having to go to, get work their way to work through all the snow and all of that. She does like it more so than the other two kids. The other two kids would never be away from the salt water or the beach, but I think it's starting to like get to her now because she has always said she would never come back to Texas, but recently she's been so talking more about maybe coming back to Texas. So that would be
Okay.
nice.
Yeah, be nice for you, right? That would be good for you. Now,
Definitely.
I should ask you, did you grow up in Texas? Have you always lived in Texas? Your family someone from somewhere else, or?
Yeah, no, we grew up. I grew up about 2 hours away from here. It's called Surfside, Texas. It's right on the water. So that's where I was born and raised. And
Okay.
then kind of moved here later. Had kids, lived there, raised them for a little while. And then their dad passed away. And I met a guy that was living here and we relocated here. And then once we got here, the kids were in school and everything. I had established my life here. I was working. And then him and I broke up, but then I stayed here because the kids and I had already, established a life here, basically, and we just stayed here.
Okay. It's interesting you spent all your whole life in Texas, Sheree, because you don't have like a southern accent or
Really?
any. No, I don't think you do. I don't think, in contrast to Assistant Emily, who certainly has one. Of course, she's Arkansas. You just the way you talk, I would think, well, this is just like Midwestern, it doesn't strike me as Texas. Or is
I
that some
think
sort of
that
fallacy or something?
Southern draw really is more of an East Texas kind of rather than a Southern Texas,
Okay.
because Southern Texas, they have more of a Mexican population.
Yeah.
And I think that that probably plays a lot into the accents. But
Okay.
I know my stepdad, he was from Ohio, and we would go up there and they would kind of make fun of some of the words that I would say, like y'all and different things like that. But I know you're from Pennsylvania, so you'll hear
I
it.
know we have our own little accent there as well. Like I've heard some people tell me that, oh, I know you're from Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania. It comes out once in a while. I've actually gotten some messages like that, even though I haven't lived in
Wow.
Pennsylvania since, in half my life now, since I was
Yeah.
27. Okay, all right. So full time in Texas. Went to
Went
college
to
four degrees.
college.
Yeah.
I went to University of Houston at Clear Lake first when I was living still where I'm from, and then took some time off while I was raising the kids. And then when I moved here to Victoria, I ended up going to University of Houston. They have a Victoria location and ended up graduating there with my bachelor's in history,
Okay. All
which I
right.
never used.
Okay. All
I mean,
right.
I say that, but basically a degree in history is just reading, researching, and writing. And I do use some of those skills too. I mean, I think everybody uses researching and writing
Right.
all in their lives, so.
Right. I remember you for your work. We don't have to get in maybe to your job or anything, but if you want to, you can. I remember you did a presentation last year, right? You did a big presentation that was filmed and everything, right, for the job that you do.
Right, at the university, actually, or actually it's the community college. the Victoria College, I did a Medicare presentation. And I've been doing those pretty regularly since I started that job. But it's just been recently that they have a like a lifelong learning program there at the community college, where they have older students that can come in and learn different topics. And of course, some of them are interested in learning about their Medicare benefits because it can be very complicated. And so yeah, they invite me to come and speak, and turns out to be pretty good presentation. And
That's right. I remember that it was about Medicare, like Part D or Part E or Part
yeah, all
Q
of
or
it.
whatever they
Yeah,
call
all
it.
the parts. Yeah.
Okay,
Which
right.
is crazy because I don't get really that nervous when I'm speaking to those groups, I guess because I know the content so well. But I do have to, for my new position now, make presentations to our board of directors. And I will be just a basket case the whole day, so nervous. And then even getting up there, I can feel myself, kind of trembling a little bit. Even though people say they can't see it, you can still feel it
Yeah, you
internally.
can.
Yeah.
Sure. And it can show up in your voice, anybody's voice as well, your little shaky voice, that can
Yeah.
happen for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the funny thing
Something.
is, they pay less attention to me than the other people do, Like they're really interested in what I'm talking about than somebody at the college who's actually taken time out. The board of directors, they're there. They have to listen to what's presented. But choosing to come and hear someone, so I don't know. I probably shouldn't stress out about it as much, but it doesn't matter what you say to yourself. That when the time comes, all that goes out the window.
And something else that I want to ask you about, this came up a few years ago. What is your fascination or interest in kaleidoscopes? Where does that come from?
I don't know. I when I was a kid, I know somebody, I don't even know who gave me one, but from then on, I just it I guess because when you look in it, it takes you like you're somewhere else. You can completely forget about what's going on in the room around you or the people around you. And I just remember when I was young, I would go into my room and look in the kaleidoscopes and just completely forget about what was going on around me. So I guess it's kind of like a escape, or and then as you get older, you find there that that one that I had was probably a couple bucks then, that you can get some really pricey ones that are really nice pieces of work, actually, that are amazing. They're just beautiful. So I can't believe you remember that.
I do remember. Of course, I remember that. It might have been 3 years ago, 4 years ago,
Yeah.
that you were going out to buy one. I don't know if that was maybe during COVID or when it was, but I do remember that.
Yeah.
You have any other interests like that, Cherie? Anything else like that?
Not really. I mean, I do a lot of like scrapbooking stuff, junk journaling. I don't know if you know what that is. So like bullet journaling, stuff like that. So really that's like the only other kind of little hobby I have.
All
Yeah.
right. And listeners should know, Cherie, as far as helping me with Unfound, many of you know her as the moderator of the live show that happens now on Monday nights. But back when it was on Wednesday nights, she was the moderator. I think it was on Wednesday nights when she got started. Now we're on Wednesdays. Now we're on Mondays, and luckily, it seems we haven't had too many. Maybe a month ago, maybe we had a couple people that were in there that I don't know what they were doing. But she
Right.
moderates, just kind of keeps an eye on things. Maybe if anybody wants a link, to a particular episode that might have popped up, she puts the links in there and things like that. And I think that's been going on, what, 4 years now? Cherie, 5 years? It's been a while. And then also, Cherie, although we haven't had a meeting recently, Eric, Cherie, and I will get together. We just talk about Unfound, and I really appreciate Cherie's insight into what's going on. I think she's a great observer of everything that's going on and seeing what people are saying. And so I really trust her with her insights, and of course Eric as well. And I think that we always have these meetings, and I think they go well because I think we're all kind of around the same age, the same generation X. So I think that we relate to each other really well. Of course, I you know, Emily, and I get along with everybody else who offers any help, but I think that's why that I think that I go my personality goes so well along with yours. And when we talk about things that are going on, and you should know, probably of all my assistants, Sheree and I text back and forth the most. Sheree will send me, "Hey, did you see this?" She keeps track, like the Murdaugh trial and Dan Markell trial and things. And she, "Hey, did you see this? Do you see this?" So a lot of things that people end up hearing on the live show are things that Sheree have sent me, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I want to talk about that on the live show." So I really
Yeah, that's
appreciate
because you're my true crime buddy. Like, I don't have
it.
anybody else to talk true crime with. And I also know that you're going to give me like an honest perspective. And sometimes you think of things that I don't think of. So,
Yeah, you're the same. You're the same. Yes, of course. Yes, that's right. Is that true? Maybe we want to go in that direction. Do you not really have any other friends who follow any true crime podcasts or
well,
anything, or like Forensic Files, anything on TV or anything else? Is that true, Shirley?
I mean, I do have friends that say they're into true crime, but they don't follow it like I do, I guess, and as deep as I do. Like, they'll watch in the ID channel, or if there's some national news case or something like that, they'll follow that. But not maybe as obsessively as I do,
Ha Okay.
but they're while we're talking about it, there is a guy at work that I wanted to give a shout out to. His name's Cherokee, and he started watching Unfound or listening to Unfound, and he started at the very beginning, and he's working his way through all of the episodes. So I really appreciated that, and I told him I would mention his name when we did the interview.
Wow, Cherokee, that's his real name. I love it.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that cool? Yeah,
I
he's
do.
an HR guy. And so I told him, just
Okay.
skip, to the most recent ones. Forget about the audio and all the yellow light stuff. And he's like, "No, I want to see the growth. I want to see where y'all started from." So he started with episode one, and he's been
That's
working
right.
his way through it.
Yeah, we
Yeah.
had some struggles there at the beginning. That is true. Wow, that's a lot of listening that he's going to be doing.
Yeah, I love that though. That means a lot to me, and
Yeah, me too. Me too, of course.
yeah.
It's interesting because when some people do let me know, "I found your podcast starting from the beginning," and I'm like, "All right, good luck." Average length of an episode's 2 hours, and we're seven and a
Yeah.
half years in. Good luck to you.
Right.
Episode 400 just came out this past Friday. Good luck to you. Let me know when let me know when you see your way through all of it 2 years
That's
from now
crazy.
or something. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. Giving a shout out. Okay. What is the way you remember it, Cherie, the first time that you started getting into true crime? What was it? Was it a particular case? Did something maybe happen in your hometown? What was it?
Well, I can remember when I was young, when we would go to grocery stores, they would have bulletin boards that would have missing people on there. And I would stand there as my mom was checking out, searching those pictures, thinking that I was going to see someone that I knew, even though, I was too young to understand that those people were from different states or that I didn't even know anybody that was missing. And then I remember milk cartons too had missing people, and I'd always just like think that would be so tragic to be missing from your family or your family to be looking for you. And then as I got older, I remember that I would like watch like cop shows like Moonlighting and Magnum PI, Hawaii 5-0, all those shows. I really am interested in those. But I really didn't get interested until Madeline McCann's mom, or Madeline McCann, went missing. And I remember being as interested in it at the time as I could be. I didn't have, I don't even remember if we had internet. I don't know. If we did, it was dial up. It was not like it is now. In 2011 or 12, I went to visit my brother in England, and I was at the airport. And I was looking for a book, and I bought a book that Madeline McCann's mom wrote. And at that time, I hadn't really decided like where I fell on if the parents had done something or if she had truly been taken. And so I bought the book, and then I remember just absorbing the book and realizing that the parents weren't involved, or coming to my conclusion that the parents weren't involved. And then kind of after that, I became interested, a little here and there, in true crime, I guess.
So would you would say then that Madeline McCann is really you'll and maybe you'll have to remember remind me what year was that that she disappeared?
Oh, I
Not to
believe it
put.
was 2006.
All right, so 18 years ago then.
Yeah.
Yeah, about that time. Okay. So
Yeah.
2006, that was like the first case that really you heard about it, and that was something that you wanted to follow.
Right. Yeah, that I really remember following the news updates and just being really interested in what the whole story was.
Do you think it was because, of course, 18 years ago, your kids would have been very little. Do you think it was because you were a mother? Was that something like, well, what if that? I couldn't imagine if one of my kids disappear like that. Or what do you think it was about that particular
I
disappearance?
think that's exactly what it was. And not only that, my daughter at the time looked a lot like Madeline McCann, except Madeline's eyes were a little bit different color, but she had the same haircut. She had the same little chubby cheeks, and it, very similar. And I think that's kind of what, drew me in was, wow, I could not imagine if that was my child. And
So
so to
was
read
it
mom's
so
story, and
right?
hearing her tell her side of it, there were things in there that she mentioned that I knew that, I mean, you can edit this out if it's too much, but one of the things that she talked about in the book was that she could not have a sexual relationship with her husband because she was thinking about what kind of things might be going on with Madeline. And to me, I don't think someone who had done something to their own child would be able to write something like that. And then, because that struck me as that I feel like I would have been the same way. Like you would feel guilty for eating, sleeping, enjoying anything, much less having some sort of relationship with your husband while your child might be going through the worst possible, event of their life. That made me really like think that I don't think she has any, they didn't have anything to do with it. I just don't think she would be going through those kind of emotions. And it's not just that, but that's the one thing that sticks out to me right now throughout the whole book of all of the things that they went through.
And so, of course, it seems maybe, I don't know, once a year, maybe once every maybe 18 months or something, there's like some new news that comes out about it, and then that brings it all back to you. You once again following it closely as you ever have.
I've stepped away from it a lot because like you said, sometimes it's just crap. Oh, they found this, and it just leads nowhere. I mean, that went on for so long that you kind of just like think, oh, the next thing is, oh, now you found it. It's like, have you really found it this time? You've said that 100 times before. So, I mean, I think they have kind of narrowed it down now, though. I think they claim they have the guy. And I don't see any reason to not believe them at this point. They did a new search recently, maybe a couple months ago, looking for some of her things in one of the areas that that guy was like camping in or living in. They can pretty much put him in the area where she went missing that day in Portugal, and he had a long history of sexual deviant behaviors with children and things like that. And yeah, I think he's already been convicted of molesting a child or something with a, I know he has other child charges, so
Is this the German guy?
yeah.
Okay, the German. I don't know the name off the top of my head, but
Yeah,
I
I don't
think I've
either.
seen that the last couple of years. It was a German, some German guy.
Right.
Okay. You think, it's interesting to me that as an American, though, as a fellow American, we're both American citizens. The case that really got seemed to follow first was one that though didn't concern American citizens. In fact, they weren't even in England when this happened. You know,
Right.
that's interesting to me. Whereas think Americans or any people in any country, if they get involved in something like that, something in their own country. Like, I guess for a lot of Americans, maybe it's like JonBenet Ramsey or something.
Yeah.
For you, it was Madeleine McCann. That's interesting.
I think too, also, I didn't have like a lot of exposure to that at that time, unless it was a national case. You know, we lived in a pretty rural area that was, you know, not very populated. So something like that happening, just, I'm not saying it didn't, but we just didn't, it wasn't in the papers, it wasn't on the news. So exposure to those kind of things didn't really happen until the internet for me. And
Right.
then, you know, of course, it completely
Right.
changed.
Well, speaking of the internet, because this has come up like when I've talked about my own personal experiences, growing up. When you first got the internet, is that something you started looking up disappearances or crimes or anything like that? Of course, it's very rudimentary at
Yeah.
the beginning, but was that something? Yeah, I'll give you an example. Like for me, it was Jody Huizentrugh. I heard about her disappearance, maybe on Unsolved Mysteries or something. Of course, she went missing right at time when I started getting the internet. And I can still remember one of the first disappearances that I remember trying to find out more about when I got on the internet, which was Jody Huizentrugh. I guess that's what I'm saying to you. Anything like that when you first got the internet?
No, in fact, I didn't even get into web sleuths until probably 2018, 20, right around the time
Wow.
I became familiar with Unfound. So
Wow.
I didn't have any, you know, concept that there was a forum where people were talking about those
Wow.
things. So it's
Okay.
a really
All right.
new thing for me.
Okay, so web sleuths was not a thing in your browsing until much more recently.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we remember having had the owner of, she didn't start web sleuths, but she's the owner of it now. Web sleuths is over 20 years old now
Yeah.
in 2024. That's interesting to me. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, going back to your education, was there ever anything in your life you thought maybe you would become involved in law enforcement or something like that? You talked about your history degree, but was that something that you ever considered?
Yeah, well, this is kind of a funny story. My dad was my stepdad, what he was the only dad I knew, but he was the fire marshal and for the little city that we lived in. And sometimes they would well, one time he was friends with the chief of police, and they ran this little sting operation that was right across our house. They had some like duplexes that were selling drugs, and so they set up security camera and it fed into our TV at our house. And I remember just sitting there watching all day, people coming and going, trying to see if I could find anything that was, I mean, nothing ever happened.
Wow.
Like they caught people selling drugs and stuff. But so I thought then that I was going to go, well, I was going to be a cop, right? I was going to go into law enforcement. So my dad, my mom was like, whatever. And my dad said, well, I want you to go talk to the police chief first. And I didn't know it at the time that well, I knew they were good friends, but I went down there and talked to him, and I told him, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And he tells me that I at the time I was like 5'3", 100 pounds, that I'm too small to be a cop, and that he would not even recommend me to go into the police academy. Totally talks me out of it, and then says like, well, how are you going to stop this guy? So I thought that I literally was too small. Come to find out, like 5 years ago, that my dad, because I started asking him about it, like, you know, there's clearly cops that are way smaller than me.
Yeah, okay.
He's like, no, I just told him that so because I didn't want you to go into that career. I was worried about you. Crazy.
It's so weird they were running the video into your home TV. I mean, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. It was definitely, there was a, and you know, I couldn't escape. Like, I would get pulled over at random times because just I felt like I was always being watched, you know, like checking in on me when I was a teenager to see what I was doing and stuff like that. I did
Okay.
get away with a couple of things, but
Okay.
just always had somebody
That is
watching me.
a that's a funny story. So the secret cameras were being run into your house Was it being recorded or something, or
Don't
what?
even know how it really worked. I just know there was cameras set up watching the neighborhood across the street, and we were watching it on our home TV, what was going on out there.
Wow.
But nothing, it was literally just people driving in and driving out. I never saw anything, but maybe it was being recorded, on a VCR or something. And then he was taking it over to the police station. I don't know. I'll have to ask him about that.
That is a really wild story to just run it into. And I guess we're maybe talking like the 1980s then.
Oh yeah, for
So,
sure.
we're talking about
Like
video
86,
cameras that are
maybe.
pretty large and the technology. That is weird. Okay, what a story. Yep, you've never told me that story before, Cherie. I love that story. Okay.
Yeah, so then I thought I would go in the military after a little while. I really was just a lost young kid, didn't know what I wanted to do. But the recruiter did, and I was living on my own at that time. A recruiter did come and talk to me, and I just, for whatever reason, didn't go. So then I thought, well, I'll go to law school. So there was always, things kind of point me in that direction, but never really worked out.
Okay. All right.
And I'm kind of grateful. I can't see myself being a cop. I can't see myself going to the military. So I don't know. I think it all worked out the way it's supposed to.
Okay. What about, let's move up to true crime podcasting. Did you get, of course, as I've stated, the funny thing about me is I've never listened to an episode of Serial. Which started maybe what in 2012 or 2013. That was something that I never listened to, but a lot of people, that's how they originally got into it. Is that something that you've listened to? Is that what got you into true crime podcasting? Was it something else? Because I would admit I didn't start doing Unfound in 2016, but true crime podcasting been around since maybe 2011, 2012. What do you remember about your first experiences running into true crime podcasting?
Yeah, there are. I had a friend that she was a coworker, but she also lived like really close to me, and she was listening to Serial with the Adnan
Yeah, Syed.
mystery.
Yeah.
Yes, I had. And so she was like, listen to this and tell me what you think. So that's kind of how I got started into listening to even knowing what podcasts really were. Because at that time, I don't even know that I had listened to any other podcast. So Serial was the first one.
Okay, Serial. Okay. And any others before you ran in? Okay, of course we'll get into how you ran into Unfound Online. Any others though between that time and we're saying here 2018 when you and I first met? Any others that caught your ear?
I did start the reason I got to Unfound was really from I listened to The Vanished, and then
Okay.
I wanted to listen to more missing persons cases,
Okay.
and that's how I found Unfound.
Okay. Did you ever listen to the, because I've stated that I've li I, you know, one of the only other ones that I listened to before I started was the Missing Mara Murray. Did you ever listen to that,
I did
some of
listen to
those?
that. I did listen to that for maybe the first 50 episodes.
Yeah. I didn't make it that many, but
Don't
yes,
think it was
okay.
that far either, but it got to be too much after a while, and we weren't getting any further, so I didn't listen to all of it.
Okay. All right, so maybe you listened to a few of those. You got listened to, so on Serial, you've listened to all of it. You did listen to all of the episodes, if you can
I
remember
know
them.
after Adnan, the next one was the Bo Bergdahl one, and that's the one that really fascinated me. And I've probably listened to that maybe six times, the whole
Wow.
series.
Wow.
And I think that's really, what really got me interested, because I learned so much from that. And I thought, well, if I can learn this much listening to this podcast, I can probably l listen to some other podcasts and learn some other things.
Yeah.
So with
Okay.
the
Bo Bergdahl, is it do you think it was because maybe your son wasn't already in the military at that time? That was maybe before he went to the military, or could it be that it was because of that, or what do you think?
I think it was more because I wanted to understand why he just walked off his post, basically. I wanted to figure out what the mystery was. And you can't really do that unless you listen to Bo's story of what his reasoning was.
Okay. All right. So let's now move up to the first time that you ever came across Unfound. How did that happen? And I will tell you, my memory is that you and I first talking about Amanda Fravel. That's kind of the, that's all in that Tom Brown, Zoe Campos, Amanda Fravel. If people don't know, those three episodes all came out in a row in the summer of 2018. What a summer that was.
Right.
And I remember you, that's just how I in 2024 process it, that Amanda Fravel, I don't know if you knew her sister or something, but you said you were looking for more like something like The Vanished to listen to, but then maybe you had already been talking to Amanda Fravel's sister. What is all that?
Yeah, no, so the way I remember it is that I think wasn't Kristen Modafferi before Amanda Fravel?
I think so, yes.
Okay, so
Yes.
you had a live show. So I had listened to that, and then you had a live show, and I remember had heard something about Robert Durst being connected, but that wasn't mentioned in the podcast. And so on the live show, I had asked about that, not really thinking that this host is going to respond to my question. You know,
Ah.
if he thought it was important, he probably would have mentioned it, but you did, and you interacted and actually gave it quite a bit of attention. Like it was an important thing to address at the time. And then I remember also during that live show, you were saying that none of the episodes would ever be behind a paywall.
Right.
And I thought that that was like so admirable. And I thought, man, I'd like to be a part of this if there's something that I can do, you know, some way. And then the next episode I remember, I think, was Amanda Fravel. And then I thought, well, maybe this will be my opportunity to, because you were talking about Lou Frank and trying to track
Yes.
him down.
Right.
And I
That's
thought,
right.
well, I mean, I'm pretty good at research. Maybe I can find this guy and we can talk to him for this episode. And that's kind of how it all kind of started.
That's right. I remember all of that. I just checked real quickly. Kristen Modafferi's episode came out a month before Amanda Fravel's. It
Okay.
was, let me, for everybody, I always have this file open. Kristen Modafferi, then Zoe Campos, then Sean Guinyard, then Tom Brown, then Amanda Fravel. That was the order,
Okay.
going back to like the beginning of the summer of 2018.
Wow.
Yeah,
So that's
so
your
just,
filming in 2018.
yes, 2018 for sure. And just so everybody knows, that would have been disappearance. Kristen Modafferi's would have been only disappearance number 82.
Wow.
We're now on 320. That's like
Wow.
only 1/4 of where we are now. It's crazy. It's so
Crazy.
crazy. It's so crazy. All
Yeah.
right, so that's interesting. So you sent me a message and I started talking about that. And
Yeah.
I remember us also having, here's something else that I remember. Something about, of course, Zoe Campos right around the same time. You and us, I having a conversation about Zoe Campos, about the car keys.
Yeah.
Remember that? Why would some, remember we had a
Take
conversation
the
about
keys.
her car got dumped, but then the car keys weren't left in it. Well, why would that be? I remember that's one of the first
Yeah.
conversations I also remember with you.
Yeah, I remember that too. And I think you said whatever it was something that I hadn't thought of.
Okay.
That they maybe just took them with them. I don't remember what they what it, you know, it's
Yeah.
been so long ago, but yeah, it was something that I hadn't thought of at the time.
Okay.
So
Right,
yeah,
right.
and then we had Tom Brown after all of that. And then I mean
Yeah.
we just all of us were talking all the time.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And it's funny you bring up Lou Frank, because you did. I mean, there's so many Lou Franks out there. We don't even know if that was that guy's real name. But I remember you doing some research over the summer, going, into July, August, September, however long it was of 2018, and you tracking down a Lou Frank that lived like in California, and he had like a rape on his record or something, and he
Yeah.
might have fit into that kind of description of what her family said Lou Frank, who he was.
I tried everything. I
Yeah, you did.
went into like Vegas Craigslist and posted about Lou Frank that from back, 1986, if anybody knew. I thought I did everything that I could possibly think of, and I did develop
Yeah.
a relationship with Melissa, and then it became even more personal for me, and was really sad that there was really nothing else that could be done, that I could do.
Given the information we have, yes.
Yeah.
We had those notes from her parents, and his name was written in there, but
And then we
you know.
tried to get the record from Vegas, but they wouldn't release it because it's an open,
No.
supposedly, investigation, and it's not. I mean, nobody's working on it, so
That's right.
it's just,
1986. It's been
I don't
38
know.
years. Yeah. Yep, I remember all of that. I remember like not like it was yesterday necessarily, but I remember it pretty well. I have to admit, you were had you tried to interact with any other podcast hosts in the past? I mean, me, I as everybody knows, I think I have a responsibility when people contact me, either through email or messenger or whatever. As long as it's not completely idiotic. You know, I always think like I have a responsibility to respond to this person, you know, and let's have a talk and everything else. So that was something that surprised you. Is this something that you maybe tried to do with somebody else and they didn't do much and mention any names, but just you tried to interact with some others and they didn't get back to you or what?
No, I know Emily had that experience though. But I hadn't really reached out. I don't know. I guess I just I had watched a lot of YouTube videos, maybe not true crime, but usually the host didn't really interact even on live shows. So I guess that's it. But I had never reached out to anybody before.
Okay. Because I have that experience too, because there are some shows I watch, of course, that aren't true crime related. They're into other things. And you're right, it's amazing how many hosts don't respond. You know, they don't. They just I don't know what's going on, and I'm like, should I really be watching or listening to this person if this person isn't going to respond to me? I realize that a lot of these shows get a lot of, you know, people messaging them and everything, and it can be a little tough. It's no different than maybe being a famous person back in the day and getting all these cards and letters. You can't expect everyone to be replied to. But, you know, I don't know if it's quite like that now. It's certainly easy to just, you know, reply and give a person a couple sentences at least, you know. So, and like I said, I always feel that's my responsibility
I
to
mean,
do
when
that.
your job is based on viewer interaction, then it makes sense that you would respond as much as you could.
Right. All right, so you found you were listening to The Vanished. You were looking for more missing persons coverage, and that's how you ran across Unfound. And then we started talking, and then at some point in there, you became an assistant, and you've been there ever since. You and Carrie came on kind of around the same time in 2018. Of course, Emily came on April or May, I think, of 2017. It was just for a while, it was just me and her. Just the two of us. Yeah, and then Eric, of course, came on later. That's interesting. Let's move on to this. Maybe some episodes that of Unfound. Of course, we've mentioned Tom Brown, Amanda Fravel, some of these other ones that maybe stick out to you. Ones that noteworthy or ones that you know have kept your interest, maybe like a Madeleine McCann type of thing. Some that have stuck with you.
Well, I
Anything?
have Cameron Rimmer because of all the work that we all did on that.
Yes.
For that reason alone, all the behind the scenes work, and there was, it seems like, so much work that went into
Yeah.
that episode.
Yeah.
Nico Lisi, I think I try to keep up with that because of
Yeah.
the vehicle being found, and
Yes.
of course Jason Landry because I've been there. and Bradley Brooks for the same reason. I've been to the on the street where he went missing.
Right.
Brandi Wells because Texas.
Another Texas disappearance. Yeah, let's
Alex
go back to
Brooks.
Bradley Brooks. I remember us talking about that. That's right. It's another disappearance. That might be from 2020. Of course, his car was found right along the water's edge there in
Yeah.
Corpus Christi, still unsolved. And you actually went down there and drove down there. Did you go to that specific spot? If you did, if you told me, I forget. But maybe you just want to recount that for everybody.
Yeah, my daughter would lived like maybe 4 or 5 miles from that street. So we went to her house. So let's go down here, and I didn't record it or anything, but we drove down there, the exact place where he was last seen, and drove all through there. And it's very eerie feeling that you get when you know someone's probably here, that's missing. They're probably right out here. But yeah.
Right.
So
I remember that. And when I interviewed Carrie, she taught one of the first interactions I had with her. Her going down for Angie Arnell, and
yeah,
she was doing some videos showing
I
that
remember
area
that.
down there. So,
Yeah.
kind of the same thing. Yeah, that's right. Bradley Brooks. Right. I
And then
remember.
maybe you remember Al Copper, Matt and I had like a friendship.
Ha. Matt,
So
Matt is one of Unfound's most unique guests, to say the least.
yeah, one of the
Right?
most friendly.
Yes.
And then I Dale Kerstetter, that one's fascinating to me too. Because I tend to think that he might still be alive somewhere, maybe,
Right.
or at some point was. Oh, Chris Turner, I became friends with his mother also.
Dawn. Yeah,
Yeah,
Dawn.
talked to her quite a
Right.
bit. Through all her struggles and heartbreak and everything that she was going through.
Yeah. Right. I wanted to go back to Jason Landry. So you've been through Luling, Texas. You know that area? How well do you
Yes.
know that?
I go anytime I'm going to Austin or San Antonio, I have to go through that. So I go through it quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can totally see how he missed that
Missed
turn
that.
there. Yeah.
So you've been right to that intersection where he was supposed to turn right to go south. Instead, he kept going straight. You've been in that intersection.
Right, several times. I go
Wow.
through that intersection.
Section.
I come from, so if he would have been making, I come from the right that he would have been making.
Okay.
But he went straight instead.
Right.
Yeah, and I can totally, if you're coming from that way, unless I think it was his second time or something, there's no way he would have, unless he would have been paying attention. If he wasn't paying attention, he would have gone straight across. Although once he went straight across, it seemed like he should have realized that, this is not right. It doesn't look right. It doesn't feel
Yeah.
right. The road turns into rock. Something happened. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's still a stumper, even for a person like yourself who's been there. Of course, I've never been there. I don't think any of the other citizens have been there. I don't think anybody else I know well has been through there. I've
Yeah.
ne never been there. So, but you, so for some from you being there, that's interesting.
I can totally see too how he would not be found. There, it's so dense out there, and there's just so much land and possibility that it would be almost an accident for someone to find him, I think. Unless I know that they've searched there, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, you're talking about it, interacting with some of these guests after they've been on Unfound. Of course, Eric's done that. Of course, Emily does that. I think, of course, Carrie knows Angie Arnell's mother already, and maybe she's interacting. This is something that is common. Everybody's hearing these interviews that I've done now with the four of you. This is something that's common. This isn't something that, and it's not even something that I've talked about with any of you. You're doing this on your own. Keeping in contact with these people. Of course, I try to keep in contact with at least some of them too, maybe when it comes to update episodes and things like
Right.
that. But many, all of you have your just, your few that you've gotten to know them and try to help them in some way, like you said, Dawn Turner
Yeah.
and some others.
And then in Tom Brown, I became, little phone buddies with Fine Gregory, trying
Yes,
to get him to do
let's
something.
talk about that. Thank you for reminding me, because we're unlike the regular interviews that we do, we're just kind of going off the top of our heads for these assistant interviews. Let's talk about Pine Gregory. Somehow you got the job of trying to reach out to him. Maybe I should do this. I have to maybe explain who Pine Gregory is, because this all happened. We have to remember this way happened in 2018,
Right.
and of course these days we don't talk about Tom Brown's disappearance or death now than we used to. But Pine Gregory was a deputy in the Hemphill County Sheriff's Office. And after he was on duty that morning, he's the guy that rode around with Tom's brother looking for Tom that morning. That's where this whole story about Tom's brother seeing Pine, texting back and forth with his wife at like 4 in the morning or whenever it was. But of course, eventually Pine got fired for being less than a good police officer. But there was a lot of people, at least early on, thinking that Pine might have had something to do with Tom's disappearance. And then
Because
lo
Pine
behold,
found the remains.
and lo and behold, it was Pine Gregory who, it seems, by accident, found Tom's remains just while he was out doing some deer hunting, scouting or something.
While he
And
was on company time.
while he was on company time in his company uniform, and he's explained why he was out there. And you were able to talk to him actually more than once. How did you do that? Because, of course, we know Pine has not talked to a lot of people, but
Right. Well,
how did that happen?
you actually had a conversation with Pine, and we agreed not to release a recording of that.
That's right.
So as time went on and things started happening, we wanted to try to get him on the record.
We did.
And so that's why I initially reached out to him, was to kind of talk him into coming back on. And letting us record the, release the recording this time. Because, and then the other part of that piece of that was we wanted to do a FOIA on whether or not Pine was working in that DWI stop that night and where he was after. So, in
That's
order to
right.
get the exact time and date of all of that, I reached out to him and started talking to him. Got the dates, we did the FOIA, determined that he was actually doing the DWI stop and he was at the station doing the paperwork and all of that during that time period.
That's right.
So,
Right.
yeah, then, I think at that time, Pine was also going through a lot. His personal life had been turned upside down, or his professional life, I should say. Not saying it was no fault of his own, but it is what it is. And then of course, that creates problems in your personal life. I think he was just really lonely. He was never inappropriate, never overstepped any boundaries. He was always, strictly talking about the Tom Brown case. Until after we had been talking maybe, I don't know, months. Then he started sending me like pictures of his drawings and artistic work and different things like that, being more like friendly. But yeah, that's how all of that happened. And we talked for a long time, but he never would agree to do another interview. He was on to the at the time, he wanted to wait for that grand jury event that never happened that everybody was talking about was going to happen and bring light to all of these
That's
news.
right. Now, yep, that's right.
And he was talking to the attorney general at the time, Rachel, who was telling him, or the AG's office, I should say, telling him, no, don't talk. You know, we're going to clear this up with the grand jury. And none of that ever happened. So,
right. So this would have been what in 20? Because think when the let me in the remains found 2019. Yeah, the episode came out in 2018. Remains found early 2019. The meeting that Nathan Lewis secretly taped was in August. Was that of 2019 or 2020? It all comes. It's all. I think that was 2019.
I think so too.
And then it was somewhere in there that you started. You didn't start talking to Pine until after you'd gotten fired. You'd gotten fired in like April or May of, like I said, I'm thinking it's 2019. We may be off on the year. But it was just early in there. But you started talking to him after he was not a deputy anymore.
Right. At that time, he was working. He was welding or construction or something like that.
And I did get to talk to him. But yes, you're right. He would not agree to any sort of interview. But he explained to you, explained to me. I think the stories are consistent of what he was doing out there and what he thought he saw. You know, he thought it was like, what's like, you know, not to be morbid, but he goes, what's a white soccer ball doing out here in the woods or wherever it was? And then ended up being, of course, Tom's skull. But he, you know, he talked to me about you about that. I always got along with them. You know, we're always open to that, but him coming on and talking about this, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I don't even know. It's been years now, some years now. I don't even know what he's doing with his life now. But it was something, though, to be able to talk to him and you reaching out to him and talking to him as much as you did. You kind of facilitated, you know, me eventually talking to him. And I think I talked to him more than once.
Yeah.
So,
I remember that. And, you know, I kept reminding him, like, to your credit, we weren't trying to twist anything. We weren't trying to create drama where there wasn't any. We really wanted him to come on and clear it up because we did believe him. And if we were trying to stir up crap, we would have released the conversation that we already recorded. But we never did that. We, you know, you held true to your word that you told him you wouldn't. And to me, I always thought that stood for something, but, you know, what are you going to do when you have the attorney general's office in your ear saying no, you know, and it's already looks really bad for you. So,
yeah,
I
think,
why
please.
Wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, I think he even said to me, maybe he said to you that me coming across, like coming across Tom's Brown's remains is like the worst thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah.
Cause it looked suspicious. People were suspicious of him because of what went on, according, of course, to Tucker, Tom's brother, and texting with his wife like at 4 in the morning about Thanksgiving dinner or something is the way I remember it was. And people were thinking, is that really what's going on? And then on top of that, he comes across Tom's remains, and it's like everybody's like, well, what are the odds? Imagine that.
There was that also that piece with Pine saying that Pine was the deputy that told them they couldn't go search out at Lake Marvin. And Pine says that was not him at all.
That's right.
And turns out Pine's looking for deer antlers out at Lake Marvin. So it all seemed very suspicious.
Right.
We didn't know what to believe in the beginning.
No.
So that was our main goal in really talking to him, was to try and find out what in the world is going on.
That's right. And Pine, to this day, as far as I know, he's never changed the story. He said he was never out there that day.
Never been charged with anything.
And he's never been charged with anything. But in this whole thing about how he wasn't allowing people to go down Lake Marvin Road and everything, he goes, I wasn't there.
So it wasn't him at all.
Yeah, so we were. I don't think Pine Gregory ever spoke to any, to your knowledge, did he ever speak to anybody else? Any other podcaster, of course, had multiple podcasts at one time covering nothing but Tom's disappearance. Do you know, to your knowledge, did he ever talk to any of them? Did any of them ever bring that up?
I can't remember if he talked to Texas Monthly or not, but
right.
I don't think he did. Because I remember Sending him the link when Texas Monthly came out, he said, yeah, he saw that. So I really don't think he talked to any, I don't think he talked to him either.
Right. So that's
Yeah.
another one of the things that Sheree has done over the years. Besides communicating with some guests, she was the one that was able to track Pine Gregory down and talk to him about his experiences with the whole thing. And as you brought up, he stated that he was pulled over with a DUI person. You verified that with a FOIA to say he was telling the truth. It was just a coincidence that where they pulled this driver over was not far from where Tom Brown ended up getting gas. It was just right down
Right.
the street, like a half mile or something. But and I've been there. I know that area now exactly, and that's why because I asked him, why did we see those two vehicles, the cop vehicles, and he goes, well, we were up at a street, right up the street for a DUI. Turns out there
Yeah.
was paperwork for that.
Yeah.
Oh, the memories from the corners of my mind, Cherie.
I know there was
Memories.
so much stuff that went on during that time. Seemed like it was definitely weekly. Something was going on, some
Yes.
kind of
Yeah.
drama.
And just so everybody knows, we're doing this interview on February 3rd of 2024. And would you realize just today I got a message about somebody asking me something about Tom Brown's case just today, coincidentally.
Wow.
On
Wow.
a live show that this woman is watching from 2021. She asked me, did
Wow.
you really say that in a live show? Where did you get that information from 2021? Luckily, I keep all the notes on all the live shows. And so I could help her, but
Wow.
can you believe that? That's so crazy. So
No.
here we are talking about this. What's your
Wow.
experience been like? Ever think that you'd be involved as you are? In something like this, be so deep. Like you said, you were into Madeleine McCann, Serial. Somebody would have told you that, 8 years down the road, you'd be volunteering, assisting, being an integral part of a podcast that's been featured on TV, that its host has been, testifying in court and going to be on TV a couple times in 2024. Could you have ever predicted that?
Never. Nope. I can't even believe it now. So
Ha!
crazy.
Oh, behave, Cherie.
No, I never would have thought. But it's been amazing. I've loved it. It's been great to be a part of it. And I appreciate you letting me do, because I know that as my life's changed, you allowed me to be as involved as I can be, or at times
No.
as involved as, depending on what's going on. So, I appreciate you allowing
You're
that.
very welcome. You're very welcome. It's really relevant, like with of course you bring that up with Emily. Her Emily's life has changed so much since when I met her in 27, very much for the better. I'm so happy of what's going
Right.
on. And listeners should know that Sheree, Eric, and I think Carrie are all around the same age, but Emily is like 20 years younger than we are.
Yeah,
And in
a
some
baby.
ways, although I don't have any kids, she's almost like a daughter in a
Daughter.
way to us.
Yeah.
We're old enough to be her parents. And to see how she's really changed her life around in the last, few years for the better is just, I think you feel the same way. It's just been really made us all feel
Well,
really good.
she's always been a great person. I
Oh,
think
yeah.
in the beginning, she just didn't have a great support person with her. But she, like you said, yeah, she's really made a big
That's
turn in
right.
her life, and she deserves it.
Yes. Yes.
All the good
Are
things.
there, let's talk maybe about some other things that we've talked about. You were saying like I'm your true crime buddy. Dan Markell. That's been something. Of course, we know that his ex-mother-in-law just got charged recently. Is that that was something that I followed from the beginning in
Yeah.
2014, maybe just because I live in Florida, maybe. But what about you? Is that something that caught your attention from the beginning as well, or what?
I don't think it was from the very beginning, but I do remember being interested. I think it was this time the second trial for Catherine McVanawa came around, because there was the first trial with her and the Sigfredo. I didn't watch that, but then the second one, I remember watching that trial, where she was found guilty. And so then I, always been interested and waiting really for more arrests to come, not really sure if they'd be able to do it. And then when
Right.
they were able to clean up that audio of Charlie with the wiretaps and all of that, then That's when I knew they were going to get him. I
Now
didn't. I
you.
did not think that he would be able to get Donna.
Wow. Now, but you should be known, though, for the audience. You thought from pretty much the beginning that she knew what was going on, and
I
your opinion was
remember.
that she knew what had happened, or even might have been the instigator of it.
Yeah, well, I remember you and I having a conversation maybe a year ago, I don't
Yeah,
know,
it's
about
yeah.
whether Wendy was involved. And at the time, I told you that I think that
Yeah.
they, the parents and the brother, did it without Wendy knowing. But now that I've seen Charlie's trial and all of that, I think Wendy knew, and it's, they didn't tell her all the details and everything so she could have plausible deniability. But I think she knew it was going to happen. And they obviously did it for her.
All right. Yeah. So
But we'll
we talked
see.
about, you followed that. I know you followed the Murdaugh trial. What are some other things that you've followed recently that I'm trying to think of?
I've been watching recently the Jennifer Dulos trial, Letitia
Oh.
Stock.
Oh yeah.
Let's see.
Right. I remember you really being into Letitia Stock, how she killed her, what was her boyfriend, her husband's child, son, and then dumped him.
Our husband's child, or yeah, her
Husband, yeah.
stepson.
Yeah.
We talked recently about Liz Barraza, the lady that was murdered in Tomball or Houston in her driveway at the
Oh,
garage sale.
the garage sale early in the morning. Yes, we talked about that.
Yep.
Yeah, right. That there might be a different theory on this, maybe, as to who could have done this, kind of.
Well, so, I haven't seen it yet, but there's a Paula Zahn did a interview with her husband, her ex-husband, who's remarried
Yes.
now. And during that interview, he mentions that his mother knew about the garage sale, which is new because he said nobody knew about the garage sale. And then he says if his dad had something to do with it, he doesn't know why or what. But those are like new pieces that he hadn't been saying in previous years. So I
Wow.
don't know.
Right, there's
So
video of this. You can, I don't know if it's on the YouTube, maybe it is.
it
But
is.
YouTube of this actually happening that morning, the truck pulling up, presumably a woman gets out, goes up to into the yard, they talk for a couple seconds, and then the woman just shoots her, just dead right in her yard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That's what that's
And
how that
then circles back around to make sure that she's dead, basically.
Right, that's right.
I mean, it's looks like a hit to me, definitely.
Yeah.
Somebody picked somebody to do it.
So everybody's listening now. These are the things that Sheree and I text maybe at least once a week back and forth about. And not only, like I said, is Sheree the moderator of the live show, she often gives me material for the live show. I'm like, well, yeah, thank you. I don't even have to do anything. I don't have to look for anything. Sheree's just going to give me stuff and I'll put it on the agenda. And
Yeah.
she just kind of fills out the agenda for me. I appreciate that.
And you let me know. I think you were the one that told me. Yeah, you definitely were, because Suzanne Morphew about her being found, and
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. So there's different things that we just update each other on.
That's right. That's another one that you followed very closely and think that her husband did it. And then, like within the last, I guess, 4 months or something, 6 months, her remains were found. Of course, she was murdered. I think they were buried, but still nobody has been charged with anything. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to say? Sure, you've been doing this for a little over an hour. Everybody's, I think, gotten to know you really well. Now that everybody can put the voice with the typing that you do for the moderating and your background and kind of how things go behind the scenes, and how you and I interact, which I think everybody can tell is very well.
Yeah.
Anything maybe you want to say? And then I've been asking the other assistants two questions before I let them before we're done with an interview. I'll do that. But anything else you want to say? Anything that you would like to say during this interview?
No, I just I the only thing I would like to say is that I think you have picked a great team. I know I have interacted a lot with Carrie and Eric both, and all of us are so different that we all bring something unique to Unfound. And I don't know if that was by design or luck or how it happened, but
No plan.
yeah, and it's amazing how well it works. So, and I think everybody, I like everybody, you know, you can't really say that about a lot of teams or your coworkers or things like that. So,
Right.
it's a great combination.
Right. Maybe I should ask you this. Are you listening to any other podcasts right now or any other shows or things right now? Any tr other things that are true crime related right now? Anything else?
I really just been listening to the Jennifer
Really?
Doulos trial. I don't know what else I've been doing.
Okay. All right.
I'm sure there's something, but that's the one thing that sticks out in me. It is an all day event, so if I put it in my
Right.
earbuds and listen to what's going on. Oh, the Ethan Crumley, the Michigan mother that's being charged with involuntary manslaughter for the school shooter out there. You know, this is
Right.
the first time a parent's been charged.
Right,
Been
right.
interesting to see how that's going to play out. Yeah, I've been following that too.
Okay. All right. And when you say you're following that one trial, does that mean on court TV? You have is it or is it something or is it live on YouTube or what is it?
Yeah, like long crime or occasionally some YouTuber that I follow will watch it all day and commentate on it, like put commentary when there's a break or something, but mostly I just go to where the live feed is and listen to it.
Okay. All right, here are the two questions that I've been asking. Now, you should know, I think, given that Eric in both of them chose not to answer them. I think mainly because I think because of the work that he does and everything. But if you want to go take the same way out, I won't blame you. But you should know, on the other hand, Carrie and Emily did answer these questions. So no pressure, Sheree. No pressure at all. First question. What really did happen to Tom Brown?
Oh boy. Well, I mean, nobody knows, but my belief is that Tom intentionally hurt himself. And I will say on the record that I do not believe all the side story about his parents knowing about it and trying to cover it up and all that mess. I think that they found out that something happened to their son, he was missing, and they did everything they could do to find him. That's what I believe.
Okay, so you reject a foul play scenario. You're thinking something maybe of suicide origin, or maybe not even intended to be a suicide, but that's the way it ended up.
Yes.
Okay. Second question. Did Steve Pankey kill Janelle Matthews? You know, I ask the hardest questions in true crime.
Yeah, that is that really that one is actually harder, I think, than Tom Brown. I think my response is going to be if he did, there's no evidence to prove that he did.
Okay.
Do
All
I
right.
think he did? I do believe like 55% that he did.
Okay, 55%, 45%. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the two questions. Hard ones, of course.
Yes,
Unfound's
very.
two most notable episodes probably to this point, for very, very, very different reasons. But I wanted, I think once again, this shows that, you know, we, as is something, the topic that's come up, at least with maybe Carrie, maybe Emily, is that we're all free thinkers here. That
Yeah.
even though I'm the leader here, that nobody is in any way has to think what I think. That we have
No.
discussions, and I do not require, you know, blind loyalty or anything like that. People are free to have their own opinions, and you know, even
Sure.
though they're you know, different from mine, they can think whatever they think.
And I wouldn't be a part of something that didn't allow that. So I mean,
Thank you. Right.
that's a really nice thing, yeah.
Good point.
That's how it's been from the very beginning. We've always been able to think whatever theories we wanted to. I mean, we have to have facts to back it up. but you've never been mad at us or angry if we didn't agree with you, or none of us have ever been in any kind of arguments for not agreeing on a topic of a disappearance or a murder.
Right. And it is what comes to my mind just as you're saying that is it's true, as you know, because you were involved in it. When Steve Pankey first contacted me in 2019, I went to all of you and asked, should I do this? You know, what does everybody think on this? You know, that's a true story. Cherie was there. Carrie was there. I don't know if Eric was there at that time yet, but surely Emily and Carrie were there. Yeah.
We
Right.
discussed it.
Right. Well, Cherie, I'm sure everybody has enjoyed getting to know you a little bit, you personally, some of your interests regarding true crime, how you and I interact, how you came on to the team. So I really appreciate you making some time on this Saturday evening to
Yeah,
do
that was
this
fun.
interview.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
And that was my February 3rd, 2024 interview with Cherie, an assistant many of you know as Charlie Bravo from her work as live show moderator. That now concludes the team episode series. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Ed Densel, and you've been listening to a special episode of Unfound.